the NBC University Theater, a repeat performance of an award-winning broadcast, we bring you again the hour-length dramatization by Ernest Quinoy of the Ernest Hemingway short story, The Short Happy Life of Francis McComber, starring Preston Foster as McComber. This past season, the NBC University Theater has been honored to receive two national awards, the George Foster Peabody Award and the award made by the Institute for Education by Radio at Ohio State University. One of the broadcasts singled out in the Peabody citation was The Short Happy Life of Francis McComber. Judging from letters received at that time, this was also one of your favorites. So here again, starring Preston Foster, with the original cast and a recorded intermission commentary by Ralph Bates, is The Short Happy Life of Francis McComber by Ernest Hemingway.
Nairobi is a small African town, but it straddles the railroad junction, and the brown waters of a river cut through the valley. The red, white, and blue of the British Jack loops from the tall staff of the government house, for Nairobi is the capital of the Kenya colony, and the British administrators can be seen sweating over long reports of taxes and imports as the lazy turning fans move the scorching air from one part of the room to the other. The European houses perch up on the hills under carefully nurtured trees, the verandas open to the prevailing winds, and the hum of refrigerator units is heard in the richer quarter. But down in the town, in the white, dazzling oven of the marketplace, the 30,000 folk of Nairobi buy and sell and live. Tall tribesmen, black and glistening, in from the plains and the short bush, stand gazing at the white buildings and at the red-faced Europeans who hug the thin line of shade around the square. The marketplace swarms like the tall clay castles the white ants build on the African plains. Arab traders, white-robed and bearded, haggle with the tribesmen and with the starched and pressed servants of the European households. The native driver of the big open car leaned heavily on his horn, but the crowd spilled out into the street and the car only inched forward. In the back seat, Francis McComber leaned back, trying to spread the shadow from his broad-brimmed Stetson hat over his entire body, while his wife, brittle, beautiful, and extremely irritated, turned to him sharply.
For heaven's sake, Francis, must he blow that horn? My head's splitting.
There's nothing I can do, Margot. We just can't get through.
Why can't they do anything? Why can't they clear the street? Francis, if you don't have it, stop that horn, I'll...
Here, boy, stop the horn. Here, the horn.
Yes, sir. The horn, horn.
No. Stop it.
Yes, sir.
There, it's clear now. Go on.
I'm hot. I said I'm hot.
I realize that. It's generally hot in Africa. That's one of the peculiarities of the African climate, heat.
I'm not up to your patter today, Francis, please.
Why didn't you stay at the hotel? I'm only going to hire the white hunter for the trip.
It's hot there, too. Besides, I wanted to see you hiring a safari. I've never seen anybody hire a safari before.
Are you starting again?
I wouldn't miss the big game hunt for anything. Romance of the safari. Hunting old Simba the lion, Tembo the elephant.
All right.
Why do they stare so, Francis? Haven't they ever seen a woman before?
You may be a little faded for New York, dear, but in Nairobi you're still a beauty. Maybe you'll get another offer to sign a complexion soap testimonial.
Thank you, darling.
There, we're clear. Hurry up now, boy.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's a breeze anyway.
I wish I hadn't come.
On the Rhine?
To Africa.
That would have been neat for the colonists. One of them had us on the verge just before we sailed.
I didn't see it.
He's had us heading for Reno 3 times before.
He was right each time.
You can't leave me, Margot. You've missed your chance. I've got too much money to let go, and you've faded just enough to take you off the market.
You're sweet, dear.
I try.
And I shan't worry about you either, darling. You're not quite good enough with women to replace me. We're what they call a happily married couple.
Look, Margot, why don't we stop?
Stop what?
We agreed we'd forget about all that, didn't we? That's why we came, isn't it?
I suppose so. All right, Francis.
We can take up and begin again. You promised.
I know. I promised. I meant it. Oh, it's hot.
Organizing a safari isn't quite in my line, Mr. Wilson. I'll leave everything to you.
Right. Like the usual thing, that's my job.
And we can consider it settled?
It's settled. I'll supply the whole outfit. Cook, gun bearers, porters, and the rest. All for one price.
Now, see here, I'll be wanting the best. The complete hunter, you know. Pay anything to knock over a few good lions.
I think you'll find my arrangements adequate.
If you'll be needing more money,
Usual price.
Well, just so I get my lions.
When you go out with me, Mr. McComber, I promise you. That should be a matter solely between the lions and yourself.
Good. Perfect. Have you been a professional hunter all your life, Mr. Wilson?
Most.
Must be quite exciting. You like it?
It pays.
Enough?
What's enough?
Well, you know, I mean, does it give a man everything he needs?
Food and whiskey, and if a man needs more to live by, it gives him that, too. I'm free.
A mighty hunter, eh? Sufficient unto himself. I'd say you were rather to be envied, Mr. Wilson.
Well, if that's all, Mr. McComber...
Another drink first. At least they're cold.
Don't mind if I do.
Here, Boar, three more.
Do you enjoy hiring out as nursemaid to amateur big game hunters, Mr. Wilson?
Here, Margot.
I don't mind, Mrs. McComber. I got certain ideas about what's sporting. You live up to them, or you hire another hunter.
Oh, like rules of the chase, fox hunting and all that.
Exactly. I like the animals. I rather admire them.
Ah, the drinks. Well, Wilson, to a successful hunt, eh?
I'll drink to that.
So don't leave me out. Good hunting, eh? Just like Kipling.
Well, as to the hunting... Good shot. Hit him fair in the chest.
What are they?
Eland, sort of antelope.
Well, it was a good shot, wasn't it? I mean, I'm surprised I hit him at all.
Well, you shouldn't be. You've got a fine eye and a steady hand. That's all that's wanted. Here, Kangani!
India Buena!
Get your other boys over there and keep the birds off. Jump!
India Buena! Come, Jumpy!
See? Birds already. They can strip a carcass before you can wink an eye.
Not a very cheerful thought, is it?
Well, it's not a very cheerful country. Well, we should be off back to camp. We're moving out tomorrow after land. The boys spotted one somewhere about here.
Lion?
We'll be starting early. Better get your sleep tonight.
Listen.
Go to sleep, Francis.
Sleep? Don't you hear it? I never dreamed they sounded like that. It's not a lion. It's not an animal. It's a force, Margot. That's something to destroy. Killing that isn't hunting. It's more. It's... Margot!
What is it, Francis?
That lion.
Oh, magnificent, isn't it? No, go to sleep, Francis.
Sleep? With that crashing in my ears? Huh? Oh, never mind. Nothing. It's a devil of a thing to wake a man up with.
Sounds like an old timer. Listen to those grunts.
You scared the devil out of me last night.
Why, it's the usual thing. Man's first contact with a beast like that is usually startling.
Well, we'll see how startling the king of the jungle looks through a pair of rifle sights.
Huh? There's an old Somali proverb that says a brave man is frightened three times by a lion. First when he sees his crack, when he hears him roar, and when he first confronts him.
Well, I don't know about the brave man, but I was scared blue.
Mm, you're probably more thrilled than frightened.
Is he very close?
He's closer now. He's probably a mile or so upstream.
We'll see him, won't we? We'll get a chance to have a shot at him.
Well, he'll have a look anyway. More coffee? Sounded as if you were right in camp, didn't he?
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I expected to see him wander through my tent flaps any minute.
Roaring carries a long way. It's strange that way. Hope he's a shootable cat.
Shootable?
Oh, we don't shoot him indiscriminately, you know. There are game laws.
Oh, if I get a shot, where should I hit to stop him?
With a line? Try for the shoulder. Or in the neck, if you can make it. Shoot for bone.
Bone?
That's right. Break him down.
Oh, I hope I can place it properly.
You shoot very well, Macomber. Take your time. Make sure of him. It's the first shot that counts.
Mm-hmm. What range will it be?
Oh, you can't tell. Lon has something to say about that.
I suppose so.
Don't shoot unless it's close enough so that you can make sure.
At under 100 yards?
100. That's about right. Might have to take him a bit under. I shouldn't chance a shot at much over that.
I see. 100 yards, huh?
It's a decent range. You can hit him wherever you want.
Good morning,
ma'am. Oh, good morning, Mim-san.
Good morning, Francis.
Morning.
Are we going after that lion?
As soon as you deal with your breakfast. How are you feeling?
Marvelous. I'm very excited.
I'd better see if everything's ready. Noisy beggar. Oh, we would have stopped for that, all right.
Hi, Tongoni. Lady Maricani.
What's the matter, Francis?
Nothing. Nothing's the matter.
Yes, there is. What are you upset about?
Nothing.
Not feeling well?
Oh, it's that blasted roaring. It's been going on all night.
Oh, that.
Didn't you hear it?
I heard you, like a little boy in the dark.
I'm going to kill that blasted thing.
Well, that's what we're out here for, isn't it?
Yes, yes, but I'm nervous. When the thing roar gets on my nerves.
Well, then, as Wilson said, kill him and stop his roaring.
Yes, darling. Sounds easy, doesn't it?
You're not afraid, are you?
Oh, of course not, but I'm nervous.
You'll kill him marvelously. I know you will. I'm anxious to see it.
Finish your breakfast and we'll be starting. Oh, I hate that blasted noise.
It's very impressive.
Impressive? It's awful.
Come on now, we're all ready. Your gun bearer has your Springfield and the big guns.
Just show me the lion. Margo.
I'm ready.
Come on. We're going to get that lion.
He sounds as if he's expecting you, friend.
We'll make him stop that racket. You get in front, Macomber, and Mem-sab, you ride back with me. Look out there. Birds.
They're swooping down.
Means the old boy left his kill. Chances are he'd come to drink along here. Keep an eye out.
In the shoulder, eh? The neck or the shoulder?
Driver, stop.
Yeah, Bono.
What's wrong?
There he is. Look, look. Ahead and to the right. He's a marvelous lion. Get out and take him.
How far is he?
Oh, about 75 yards. Get out of the car.
Why not shoot him from where I am?
Don't shoot him from cars. Get out. He's not going to stay all day. Go on. Go ahead.
I see. Oh, blast it. The safety's still on.
Careful. Now, steady.
All right.
You got him. Whoa. Again. Again. Miss. Kicked up the dirt. Hurry up, man. He's heading for cover. That got him. He's gone in the grass. Tongoni, Mahala, get over here.
I hit him. I hit him twice. You think I killed him?
You might have.
Well, come on. Let's find out.
No, not yet. Not in that high grass. We'll have to wait a bit. Let him get sick before we follow him up.
Oh.
Ooh, he's a bloody fine lion.
He's in a bad place, though.
Why is it bad?
Well, there's high grass there. We won't see him until we're on him.
Oh?
Well, what's up now?
Come on. Mem-sab, you stay here in the car. We'll have a look at the blood spore.
Stay here, Margo.
Why?
Wilson says to.
You better stay in the car. You can see even better from here. Well, Macomber, should we go?
What do we do?
give her a few seconds to stiffen up a bit, and then we'll see.
I guess the grass is too high to bring the car over.
That's right.
Look here, why can't we set the grass on fire?
We can't at this time of year. It's too green.
And what about beaters? Can't we send beaters to drive the devil out with noise?
Of course we can. And just a touch murderous. You see, we know the lion's wounded.
Well, so much the better. He'll scare easier.
Doesn't work that way, Macomber. You can't drive a wounded lion. A wounded lion's going to charge.
Oh.
Can't see him till you're right on him. Look, he'll make himself perfectly flat and cover you'd think wouldn't hide a rabbit. Can't very well send boys in there. Somebody's going to get mauled.
Well, what about the gun bears?
Oh, they'll go. It's their job. Don't look too happy, though, do they?
I don't want to go in there.
Well, neither do I, but there's really no choice, though.
You
don't have to go in, of course. That's what I'm hired for, you know. That's why I'm so expensive.
You mean to go in by yourself? Why not leave him there?
What do you mean?
Just leave him.
You mean pretend he hasn't been hit?
No, just drop it.
It isn't done.
Why not?
Well, for one thing, he's certain to be suffering. For another, someone else might run onto him.
I see.
But you don't have to have anything to do with it.
I'd like to. I'm just scared, you know. I'll
go ahead when we go in. The Tongami here, track him. You keep behind me and a little to one side.
Right. Behind and to one side.
Chances are we'll hear him growl. If we see him, we'll both shoot.
I see.
Don't worry about anything. I'll keep you backed up. Matter of fact, perhaps you better not go.
Yeah.
Yes, it might be much better. Look, why don't you go over and join the men some when I get it over with?
No, I want to go.
All right. But don't go in if you don't want to. My job, you know.
I want to go.
All right. Come on, then. Behind me. About 5 yards to the right. I got him?
Indio, buona.
Wait a minute. I want a drink of water.
Yeah, Maggie.
Indio.
All right.
All right. Let's go. It's hard to say, but there's more to hunting than just killing. I mean that lion standing there across the stream. There wasn't any smell blown to him. So he just stood there moving his head from side to side. Then the slam of the 30-06 solid bullet hits him and rips across his stomach in sudden, hot, scalding nausea. And then off he goes, wounded into the high grass. And there he lies, flat on the ground, his ears back, and the only movement the twitching of the black tip of his tail. He's sick. And his big yellow eyes look straight ahead, narrowed with hate and sickness and pain when he breathes. And all of him, hate, sickness, and his remaining strength tightening into concentration for a rush. Careful now.
Blood now, Wana. This way.
Safety off, Macumba. Watch the glass.
Here he comes.
Macumba, shoot! Shoot,
man!
Where?
Big one, run away, huh? Run away fast!
Shut up!
Oh,
get the boys and start skinning.
Hey, dear Buona, but Big Buona, he did run. He ran like buck.
That'll be enough. You understand, or I'll know you out alongside that lion. You understand?
Hey, dear Buona, I understand, Buona.
Wilson, is he dead?
Yes. He's dead.
What happened? I
shot through the head. That stopped him.
You shot him, didn't you?
Evidently.
I guess I ran away. I didn't mean to.
Here. You dropped your gun.
I don't know what happened to me. One second I was facing him, the next I wasn't there anymore.
I know. You want to take pictures?
Pictures?
It's the usual thing.
No pictures. This hasn't been quite the usual thing.
Well, he's a bloody fine lion. The boys will skin him out, so we might as well get back to the car.
I suppose so. Wilson?
Well?
Nothing. Coming. Let's get back.
You were right, Mr. Wilson. I could see much better from where I was. Much better. I could see everything perfectly clearly. Crystal clear.
That's fine, Mrs. McCumber.
Was it a very old lion, Mr. Wilson?
A prime.
Did you hear that, Francis? You got a prime lion.
All right, Margot, all right. What are we waiting for, Wilson?
The skin. The boys are taking the skin off.
Oh.
We can't go without your lion skin, Francis, can we? Mr. Wilson wouldn't think it proper. Mr. Robert Wilson. The beautiful, red-faced Mr. Robert Wilson.
Oh, Mr. Wilson,
I think I shall celebrate Francis's lion by kissing you.
Look here, Mr.
Margot.
There. The hunter saluted in the primitive style.
The boys have got the skin off. They'll be bringing it over.
It was a fine lion.
A bloody fine lion.
They're the hardest in the world, American women. The hardest, the cruelest, the most predatory, and the most attractive. And their men have softened or gone to pieces nervously as they have hardened. Or perhaps they only pick men they can handle. Although I don't suppose they know that much, they marry so young. I've run across them before. They're the most devilish women. Devilish.
They've got lunch almost ready. Should we go over?
Right. Something to drink first, then. Lime juice and something.
Oh, a drink? I'll have one, too. I need something.
Unanimity at last. Have the mess boy make him up, will you, Wilson?
He started already.
I suppose it's about time to tip the men, eh?
It's customary, after a lime.
What do I give them?
Quid would be plenty. I don't want to spoil them.
Will the head man distribute it?
Absolutely. He's the foreman, you know.
Drink, Wana.
Oh, they're cold, aren't they?
Well, we got your lion, and a fine one, too.
Yeah, he is a good lion, isn't he?
A fine lion. You had quite a celebration on the way in. I mean, being carried about on the cook's and porter's shoulders. Did you feel heroic, Francis?
The usual custom, Mrs. McCumber, when you bag a lion. Can't help it, you know. They just will celebrate.
An excellent idea. We must all celebrate.
Well, here's to the lion.
Here's to the lion.
You know, Wilson, I can't ever thank you for what you did.
Let's not talk about the lion. It's been a very strange day.
I suppose so.
Hadn't you ought to put your hat on, even under the canvas at noon, Mr. Wilson? You told me that, you know.
Might put it on.
You know, you have a very red face, Mr. Wilson.
Drink.
I don't think so. Francis drinks a great deal, but his face is never red.
It's red today.
No, it's mine that's red today. But Mr. Wilson's is always red.
I say, you wouldn't like to drop my beauty as a topic, would you?
I've just started on it.
Let's chuck it, shall we?
If I do, we'll have to talk about the
lion. Oh, forget about the lion.
I can't. That's why conversation's going to be so difficult. It's bound to come up, you know.
Don't be silly, Margot.
Right. You got a fine lion. What's the end of it?
That's the trouble, Mr. Wilson. It isn't the end of it. Not for me.
Margot, just what do you want me to do?
Nothing. I don't want you to do anything. I wish it hadn't happened. Oh, I wish it hadn't happened.
She's upset. Amounts to nothing.
I don't know.
Strain on the nerves in one thing and another.
I suppose that I rate that for the rest of my life.
Oh, nonsense. Let's fill him up again. Forget the whole thing. There's nothing to it anyway.
We might try.
Hi, Congari.
I won't forget what you did for me, though.
Oh, nothing, man. Nothing. It's all nonsense, Congari. More drinks and stronger.
Indio, Buona. Strong, very strong drink for Big Buona.
Be off now. Jump while I'm over there.
What are you telling him?
Oh, nothing. Just look alive, I'd see got about 15 of the best.
What's that, license?
It's quite illegal. You're supposed to fine them.
You still have them whipped?
Yeah, they could raise a row. They chose to complain.
Well, they don't?
Oh, they prefer it to fines.
Strange.
It's not strange, really.
Oh?
Well, which would you rather do? Take a good birching or lose your pay? I mean, well, we all take a beating every day, you know, one way or the other. Oh, why, how much of a diplomat am I?
Yes, we take a beating.
Why not drink?
Hey, I'm awfully sorry about that lion business.
Nothing. Forget it.
Doesn't have to go any further, does it? No one will hear about it now, will they?
You mean, will I tell it at Mathega Club? You are American, aren't you?
I'm sorry.
I'm a professional hunter. We never talk about our clients. Rest easy about that.
Oh.
Supposed to be bad form to ask us not to talk, though. I'm afraid we shan't get on together too well after this. Might be even better if we break up.
Look. I'm sorry. I didn't realize there are lots of things I don't know.
Don't worry about me talking. I have a living to make.
I am sorry.
You know, in Africa, no woman ever misses a lion, and no white man ever bolts.
It's rather brutal of you, isn't it?
That's the way things are here.
Well, I bolted like a rabbit.
You're a hard kind of a person, Macumba. I have been rather beastly. It's I that should apologize.
Oh, maybe I can fix it up on Buffalo. And make a better showing. We are after Buffalo next, aren't we?
In the morning, if you like. That's the stuff.
It was pretty bad this morning, though, wasn't it?
Anyone might do it. I wouldn't take it so hard, you know.
Well, I suppose it's time for lunch.
Shall I call Miss Sam?
I suppose so.
Maybe she won't want lunch. She's rather upset.
She'll be all right. Margot always recovers.
If you say so.
Wilson.
Hmm?
I can't make it up on the Buffalo now, can I?
Sure.
This morning, I mean, I...
Hold on. Right.
Never mind. Come on. Let's have lunch.
Hollywood, the NBC University Theater is bringing you Preston Foster in a radio version of Ernest Hemingway's The Short Happy Life of Francis Micawber, a repeat performance of one of the most successful productions of our winter season. If you're interested in supplementing your enjoyment of these NBC University Theater productions with home study under college supervision, be sure to listen to the announcement at the close of this program. And now, our intermission commentator, the distinguished novelist, critic, and teacher of creative writing at New York University, Mr. Ralph Bates.
To say anything useful about so complex a writer as Hemingway in so brief a time, it is necessary to simplify to the point of danger. And so I shall begin by saying that the modern novel is the literature of interior unrest. The hero of a modern novel does not strive to be successful in ways fixed for him by tradition, but he struggles to be himself, to achieve true manhood. You will find this theme in almost every major writer of our time. It underlies the work of the intelligent rationalist E.M. Forster. You will find it again in the demonic Frenchman Malraux, a man who is a kind of half-brother to Hemingway. Sometimes the hero strives to find himself through what is, after all, a tragic sort of play. But in the long run, the sense of purpose always enters. For example, in an early book, Malraux describes a man who seeks meaning in life by taking part in a dangerous revolution in which he does not believe. In later books, Malraux declares that it is living which matters, and that willfully to face death is dignified only in the service of a community. It is not too much to say that this conquest of fear and the achievement of purpose are two of the major themes in Hemingway, though he is very slow to discover purpose. Hemingway, who is the better storyteller, follows much the same path as the Frenchman. With weaker logic, and with less sure a step, and with much dawdling in the land of adventure. Valor, brotherhood, the fear of overwhelming loss are the motives of the early story called In Another Country. Those motives are handled with much greater richness and maturity in the later For Whom the Bell Tolls. With this curve of maturity in mind, listen to the story now being told. Here, in an exotic setting that is superbly realized, the theme of manliness is handled in psychological fashion. Macomber is a delayed adolescent. He suffers from two weaknesses, cowardice before women and the fear of death. Or rather, he suffers from a compulsion to defy his fear without real purpose, a sure sign of immaturity. When he meets his first lion, he bolts like a rabbit and is humiliated by his wife, herself an overage child. But Macomber has moral courage and could admit his condition, and partly because of this, and in part because of his wife's conduct, a change occurs in him. Later, he stands up to a charging bull with courage, and in doing so becomes of age. Now, while the story grips me, I should be uneasy if I did not say that the thought is in one sense immature. To my mind, the story equates the power to overcome the fear of death with the capacity to live, and that surely is untrue. To put it simply, a man does not grow up and learn to live and love sensibly because at last he conquers his fear of death. There is always the struggle with life to face. But perhaps I burden the story too much. And so, confessing that for me the thought of For Whom the Bell Tolls has far greater truth, because it praises true courage and purpose, I invite you to do what I shall do. Listen again to an absorbing narrative.
Thank you, Mr. Bates. Our radio version of The Short Happy Life of Francis Macomber, starring Preston Foskey, will continue after a brief pause for station identification.
To tell about a man. I rather liked Macomber until today. But how is one to know about an American? I tried to make a break so I could eat by myself. Be a sight easier than having to go through all this emotional trash. Safari'd gone to pot, all right. I tried to insult him and make a good clean break. Then I could read a book with my meals and stick it out on a strictly formal basis and still be drinking their whiskey. Try to insult him, make a clean break, and the beggar just apologized. Oh, you can't tell about Americans. You can't tell at all. Well, here comes the mem, sir.
And how is the beautiful red-faced Mr. Wilson? And are you feeling better, Francis, my pearl?
Much.
I've dropped the whole thing. I shan't think about it.
That's fine.
I say, shall we sit down? Boy has lunch on.
After all, what importance is there to whether Francis is any good killing lions?
Please, Martha.
That's not his trade. That's Mr. Wilson's trade. Mr. Wilson is really very impressive killing anything. You do kill anything, don't you?
Oh, absolutely anything. As a matter of fact, we're going after buffalo in the morning.
I'm coming.
Oh, you're not.
Oh, yes, I am, ain't I, Francis?
Why not stay in camp?
Not for anything. I wouldn't miss something like today for anything.
Yeah, we'll put on another show for you tomorrow.
You're not coming.
You're very mistaken. And I want so to see you perform again. You were lovely this morning. That is, if blowing off things' heads is lovely.
Eat your lunch, Margot. You're very merry, aren't you?
Why not? I didn't come out here to be dull.
Well, it hasn't been dull.
No, it's been charming.
All right, Margot.
And tomorrow, you don't know how I look forward to tomorrow.
Have some more meat, ma'am.
Oh, it isn't part of the lion.
You don't eat lion, that's eland.
Oh. Well, they're the big cowy things that jump like rabbits, aren't they?
I suppose that describes them.
It's very good meat.
Did you shoot it, Francis?
Yes.
They're not dangerous, are they?
Only if they fall on you.
I'm so glad.
Why not dismount from your broomstick, Margot? Haven't we had a little too much haggery?
I suppose so, since you put it so prettily.
Tonight we'll have champagne for the lion.
Oh, the lion. I'd forgotten the lion.
Champagne? Great idea. Why not have it now? Give a lift to the whole day.
Oh, it's a bit too hot at noon.
We can use a little gaiety. Let's drink warm champagne in the light of the noonday sun.
I think we better save it.
I think Mr. Wilson is right, Francis. You must be finding it awfully warm. Aren't you, dear?
They are the oddest women, really the oddest. When she went off to cry, she seemed a devilish fine woman. She seemed to understand, to realize, to be hurt for him. Now, here she is, 20 minutes later, enameled in that American female cruelty. She is giving him a ride. I don't know. Do you suppose it's her idea of putting up a good show? Well, how should a woman act when she discovers her husband's a bloody coward? She's cruel. They're all cruel. They govern, of course, and to govern, one has to be cruel sometimes. Still, I've seen enough of this blasted terrorism.
That's the end of the champagne.
It was quite flat. Quite an appropriate ending to the day.
Hardships of a hunter.
Funny, only tastes good out here after dark. Cooler.
Well, I'm going to bed.
You'd be tired.
Yes. The excitement has me exhausted. Coming, Francis?
Just a moment.
Don't stay long. You couldn't sleep last night, you know. The roaring kept you awake.
You think we'll find buffalo tomorrow?
Good chance of it if we get an early start.
Well, that's fine. That's what I want.
He's fine game. He's fast and he's nasty. Horns 50 inches wide. Likes to use them.
They are dangerous, then.
Very.
I need to clear away that lion business. It's not very pleasant to have your wife see you do something like that. I want to clear it away. You're sure we'll find buffalo?
Pretty sure. There's a herd about here somewhere. There's one old bull in particular with an excellent head.
Head?
That's right. Look fine on a wall.
They always look fine on a wall.
Good night.
Good night.
I thought you were coming to bed.
We were talking.
About what?
Buffalo.
Oh.
We're going after him in the morning, early.
Is Mr. Wilson still up?
Yes.
Francis, turn the lantern down, will you? I think there's a hole in the mosquito netting somewhere.
Just a minute.
What are you doing? Are those my sleeping tablets?
I'm borrowing a few.
Why?
You're very considerate.
I asked you a question.
Well, you needn't worry. It wasn't an overdose. Just enough to sleep on.
You've never used them before.
Oh, it's those blasted noises. Hyenas or jackals or whatever the devil they are.
Don't be afraid of noises, Francis. There's so many other things to be afraid of.
Leave me alone, Margot.
Leave you to listen to the animals?
Yes.
To hear them roar in the night?
All right, all right.
You'll be lying there tossing, hearing the roar.
No, I won't. That's enough, Margot. I'm going to sleep now. Leave me alone.
Up late, Mr. Wilson?
Eh? Oh. Smoking. What brings you out again?
Perhaps I couldn't sleep.
You'll be leaving early. You better get some rest.
No. Not now. I want to talk to you. How many hunting trips have you been on, Mr. Wilson?
I can't remember. Loads.
Always the sporty set?
Most always. They pay best.
And the women?
They're not bad. Rotten bringing up, most of them.
You're not tolerant, are you? You're not soft and flexible and tolerant, are you?
I expect not.
Well, neither am I. If I were, I wouldn't be out here to have a drink with you. The beautiful red face, Mr. Robert Wilson. Hello, are you awake?
Where have you been?
I just went out for breath of air.
Well, that's a new name for it. You are a hag.
Well, you're a coward.
All right, what of it?
Nothing as far as I'm concerned, but please, let's not talk, darling, because I'm very sleepy.
You think I'll take that? I'll take anything.
I know you will, sir.
Well, I won't.
Please, darling, let's not talk. I'm so very sleepy.
There wasn't going to be any more of that. You promised there wouldn't be any more of your high-powered man-fishing.
Well, there is now.
You said if we made this trip, there wouldn't be. You promised.
Yes, darling, I promised. That's the way I meant it to be.
Well?
Well, the trip was spoiled yesterday. You spoiled it.
Still a lion, isn't it?
Do we have to talk about the lion?
You don't wait long when you have an advantage, do you?
Francis, I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'm so sleepy, darling.
Well, I'm going to talk, Margot.
That's fine. But don't mind me, because I'm going to sleep.
Sleep well?
Did you?
Topping?
I suppose breakfast isn't ready.
Right on the table.
Good morning, Mr. Wilson.
Oh, ma'am.
Do you think we'll find buffalo?
I had a boy out scouting. May have spotted some not far off.
You ready to start?
Any time. Want the men start to go?
Does it make any difference whether I do or not?
Why ask me?
I'd just like to know what you think.
No. It makes no difference.
You sure you wouldn't like to stay in camp with her yourself and let me go out and hunt the buffalo?
You'll probably find me useful out there. Wouldn't talk rot about you.
Rot, is it? A jealous husband doesn't fit very well in the jungle, does he?
Just what are you getting at?
Ask my wife.
If we're going to go on with this shoot, you'll have to stop this nonsense, you know.
This isn't nonsense. I'm disgusted.
Bad word, disgusted.
Francis, will you please try to speak sensibly?
What makes sense to me seems to be so much gibberish to you. I speak too blasted sensibly. Oh, this food isn't fit for swine.
Something wrong with the food?
No more than with everything else.
I pull yourself together, laddie, but the boy at the table understands a lot more English than he shows.
Oh, the devil with him.
Well, I suppose that's the way it is. Well, I'd better see about the car. Excuse me, ma'am, will you?
Hi there, Congari. Mahala. Lady Motokari, I'm joking.
Francis, darling, if you make a scene, I'll leave you.
No, you won't.
You can try it and see.
You won't leave me.
No, I won't leave you, and you'll behave yourself.
Behave myself? That's a way to talk. Behave myself.
Yes, behave yourself.
Why don't you try behaving?
I've tried to so long, so very long.
I hate that red-faced swine. I loathe the sight of him. I've hated a great many men since I married you, Margot, but I hate Wilson the most of all, a red-faced pig.
He's really very nice.
Shut up!
Well, my car's ready. Going shooting?
Yes.
You better bring a jacket, then. It'll be cool in the car.
I'll get my leather one.
The boy has it already. Shall we be off? So that's the way it's going to be. Why doesn't he keep his wife where she belongs, then? What do you think I am, a plaster saint? I hope he doesn't take a notion to blow the back of my head off in the car. It's a fine morning, though. The dew smells like verbena, like a park in England. I hope we get those buff in the open. I don't want to get into thick cover with him again. The buff are too nasty. Well, I'm a professional hunter. I suppose I'll have to. I won't bother with a woman again. Maybe things will pick up. Poor beggar. He must have gone through plenty of that before by the look of it. Poor devil.
Here, driver. Look out for those warthog holes.
When do we get there, Mr. Wilson?
We'll be over the rise in a minute. Here we go. Give me the field glasses, will you?
Here.
By heaven, there they are.
Buffalo?
There, over the anthill. There they go.
It's too far for a shot, isn't it?
Well, we have to head them off from camp. Abdullah, Quinda, Facey, Sonny, Mogo. Hold on tight. They've been bouncing in and out of warthog holes all the way over.
How many are there?
Three big bulls. If we can cut them off, we have a chance at the lot.
They look big, don't they?
They are big. Look at those horns.
Oh, they're ugly.
Look out for that anthill.
We'll
take the big one first.
There isn't any neck. I mean, it's all shoulders, isn't it?
Draw alongside. That's the way.
That ought to be an easy shot. An easy shot.
Not from the car, you fool. And go, Johanna. Now, jump out, man. Down now. Give it to him. Now. Hit. Again. He's down. Now get the other one. He's running fast.
Where?
To the right.
I got him.
Miss. Lower, man, lower.
An empty blasted.
All right, I'll get one. There he goes.
How about the third?
He's too far. Now, come on, we have to chase him. Quinda, Pacey, Donna. Jump for the running board. We're catching. You reloaded?
All set. No, no, it's jammed.
Well, we're catching up with him now. Now, look at that bigger go.
Can't clear.
All right. This is close enough. Stop. Get your shot now. You hit him again.
You'll go down.
I'll take it quick.
That's it.
Nice work.
That's the three. How many times did you shoot?
Only three. You killed the first bull, the biggest one. I helped you finish the other two. Afraid they might have gotten any cover.
Yeah, that was pretty good shooting, wasn't it?
It was first rate. You had them killed. I was just mopping up a little. You shot bloody well.
Let's go back to the car. I want a drink.
I got to finish off this buffalo first. He's still moving. Yeah? Come on.
An ugly beast, isn't he?
Now watch, he doesn't get up. Get a little broadside and take him in the neck just behind the ear.
Just behind the ear, eh? All right. Now.
There he goes. Got the spine. They are a devilish looking animal, aren't they?
Oh, let's get that drink now. Now we can celebrate, really celebrate. You know, Wilson, I feel good. I never felt this good in my whole life.
Like strong wine, eh?
Yeah, like wine and sunlight and mountains and everything strong. Wilson, you don't know what this means to me. For a while, I was wounded. Part of me was carried off. Now I'm whole again, and I feel wonderful. Come on, let's get that drink.
You were marvelous, darling. What a ride.
Was it rough?
It was frightful. I've never been more frightened in my life.
Let's all have a drink.
By all means.
That cat's stuck. Here, Margo.
Mr. Wilson?
Thank you.
It was frightfully exciting. It's given me a dreadful headache.
Oh, a drink should fix that. Hi. That's good whiskey. Flask, Macomber?
Thanks.
Mr. Wilson, I thought you said it was against the law to shoot animals from cars.
No one shot them from cars.
But you chased them with a car.
I wouldn't ordinarily. It seemed sporting enough to me, though, while we were doing it.
Sporting?
Well, it took more of a chance driving that way across a plain full of holes and one thing and another than hunting them on foot. I wouldn't mention it to anybody, though.
Bad form.
It's illegal, if that's what you mean.
Well, it seemed very unfair to me, chasing those big, helpless things in a motor car.
Did it?
What would happen if they heard about it in Nairobi?
I'd lose my license for one thing, and other unpleasantnesses, and I'd be out of business.
Really?
Yes, really.
Well, now she has something on you.
You have such a pretty way of putting things, Francis.
You lost a gun bearer, did you notice?
No, how'd that happen?
Congoni must have fallen off when we left the first bull. Oh, here he comes now.
He looks dejected, doesn't he?
Woof, go to bush. Bush are up and go to bush.
What's that? What does he mean?
He says the first bull got up and went into the bush.
Oh?
How exciting. Then it's going to be just like the lion.
It's not going to be a bloody bit like the lion. Want another drink, McCombat?
Thanks, yes. No, I don't think I need one.
Oh? Well, we'll go back and have a look at the second bull. Yeah, driver, get the car in the shade over there.
What are we going to do now?
Take a look at the second buffalo.
Oh, I'll come.
There he is, over there. Very good head. Close to a 50-inch spread, I think.
He's hateful looking. Can't we go into the shade?
Of course. Here!
Bring the car over here, Congerty.
He sees you.
Can't we go in the shade?
We wait for the car, then he's right back. See that patch of bush over there?
Yeah.
Well, that's where the first bull went in. I suppose he just dragged into that bush.
He's in there now?
Just like the lion.
Just like the lion.
Can we go in after him now?
You want to go in now?
Yeah.
Oh, we better give him a while.
Please go in the shade.
I hit the car. We'll go over to that tree by the bush. Ma'am? Over there, driver.
Yeah, bueno.
Chances are that buffalo's dead in there.
Oh?
After a while, we'll have a look.
By heavens, that was a chase. I've never had any such feeling. You know, when the boy came up about the buffalo in the bush, I expected to feel like I did about the lion. But I didn't. Just didn't come. Wasn't it marvelous, Margot?
I hated it.
Why?
I hated it. I loathed it.
You know, Wilson, I don't think I'd ever be afraid of anything again.
No?
Something happened in me after we first saw the buffalo and started after him. It was like a dam bursting. It was pure excitement.
Cleans out the liver. You know, funny things happen to people.
You know, something did happen to me. I feel absolutely different.
I know.
You know, I'd like to try another lion. I'm really not afraid of him now. After all, what can they do to you?
That's it. Worst they can do is kill you.
How does he go? Shakespeare, I mean. Some very good lines. I used to quote them to myself at one time. Let's see.
By my troth, I care not. A man can die but once. We owe God a death, and let it go which way it will. He that dies this year is quit for the next. Good stuff, what?
You feel that way? You have that sort of happiness about what's going to happen?
You're not supposed to mention it. It's much more fashionable to say you're scared.
Mind you, you'll be scared too plenty of times.
But you have a feeling of happiness about action to come.
Yes, there's that. It doesn't do to talk too much about all this. You talk the whole thing away. There's no pleasure in anything if you mulled it up too much.
You're both talking rot. Just because you've chased some helpless animals in a motor car, you talk like heroes. It's disgusting. Infantile and disgusting.
Sorry? I've been guessing too much.
If you don't know what you're talking about, why not keep out of it, Margot?
You've gotten awfully brave, awfully suddenly.
You know I have. I really have.
Isn't it sort of late?
Not for me.
I've seen men come of age before. It's always somewhat amazing. It took a sudden jump into action without time to worry about it beforehand to bring it about in Macomba. And look at that beggar now. And some of them stay little boys all their lives, boys at 50. Strange thing. The great American boy men. Macomba's all right now. He's a fire eater now. I saw it the same way in the war. The woman knows it, too. She knows it. There's no change in me, but there is in him, and she knows it.
You think we might go in after the buffalo now?
I might have a look. Here, you shoot with the Springfield since you're used to it. We'll leave the Manica in the car with Memsab. And I'll take my big cannon.
Is there anything I should know before we go in?
Just remember that when the buff comes, he comes with his head high so that the base of his horns covers any sort of a brain shot.
I see.
Now, don't try anything fancy. Take the easiest shot. Nose or into the chest if you have to.
All right.
Here's the other gun, Memsab. Hold on to it. Ready, Macomba?
Ready.
Francis.
Let's go, shall we?
Here's where he went in. You see the blood spore. Be careful now. Safety off.
Be right back, Margot.
Come on, Gungani.
In here, Bonner.
I don't hear anything.
Can't be far, can he?
There, Bonner. There, on ground. Both dead.
By George, there he is. Good work, Macomba.
Hey, it's been a fine day, eh, Wilson?
Ah! Look out, he's up. He's coming.
I've got him.
Lower. You're chipping off horn, man, again. I'll try for the shoulder. You get the nose.
I'll get it. I'm fine. I'm not afraid now.
There, That got him. That's finished the beggar. McCombe.
I ducked to one side for a shoulder shot. Macomber stood solid and shot for the nose, and Mrs. Macomber in the car had shot at the buffalo with a 6.5 Mannlicher, as it seemed just about to gore Macomber, and she'd hit her husband about 2 inches up and a little to one side of the base of his skull. I wouldn't turn him over if I were you. I get back in your car. Where's the rifle?
I got gun, Wana.
Put it down, Congoni. Get Mahala so he can witness the manner of the accident. Suppose I ought to cover him up. Handkerchief will do. Well, the bloody fine buffalo. And he got it, too. He plugged it clean. He's a fine bull. He's a good 50 inches or better spread. Yes, he's better. Well, come on. Come on back to the car. You're lucky. He'd have left you.
Stop it.
He's turned into a man, you know. Yes, I guess you did know.
Stop it. I shot at the buffalo.
Oh, of course. It was an accident. I know that.
Stop it, will you?
Don't you worry. There'll be a certain amount of unpleasantness. I'll have some photographs taken that will be very useful at the inquest. And there's the testimony of the gun bearers and the driver, too. You'll be perfectly all right.
Stop it!
There will not be done. I'll have to send a truck off to the lake to wire this for a plane to take the three of us into Nairobi.
Oh, stop.
All right, I'm through now. I was a little angry. I've begun to like your husband.
Oh, please stop it. Please, please, please stop it.
That's better. Please is much better. Now I'll stop.
Been listening to The Short Happy Life of Francis McComber, an NBC University Theater production of the Ernest Hemingway short story, starring Preston Foster. If you wish to expand your knowledge and appreciation of literature, we suggest that you might enjoy the college-supervised courses now being offered in connection with the NBC University Theater. These courses are offered by the University of Tulsa in Oklahoma, Kansas State Teachers College, Kansas, and the University of Louisville. For full information as to how you may enhance your knowledge through these home study courses, write to NBC University Theater in care of the University of Louisville, Louisville, Kentucky, the University of Tulsa, Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Kansas State Teachers College, Pittsburgh, Kansas. Next week at this same time, we will bring you another repeat performance, a radio play which inspired enthusiastic listener reaction at the time of its initial performance, A Passage to India. On that occasion, we will be particularly proud to present as our intermission commentator the author of A Passage to India, one of the most celebrated literary figures of our time, Mr. E.M. Forster. And as the star of A Passage to India, we will again bring you one of Hollywood's most distinguished actors, Mr. Joseph Schildkraut. The Short Happy Life of Francis McComber was adapted for radio by Ernest Kenoy. During the intermission, you heard Ralph Bates, whose commentary was recorded. Preston Foster was starred as Francis McComber. Mr. Foster may be currently seen in the Eagle Lion production, The Big Cat. Our cast included Ramsey Hill as the White Hunter, Wilson, Sarah Jane Wells as Margot, Gayne Whitman narrator, Rolf Sedan, and Earl Keane. Your announcer, Hal Gibney. The original musical score was composed and conducted by Dr. Albert Harris. The director of the NBC University Theater is Andrew C. Love. NBC University Theater came to you from Hollywood. Henry Fonda is the guest of Martin and Lewis today on NBC.